Welcome to this week's virtual drasha. This week we have the incredible privilege to read the parashos of Matos and Masai, and Emir Hashem be Messiah, complete Sefer Bamidbar. I want to draw your attention to a fascinating episode that occurs in Parashas Matos. In Parak Lamed Beis, chapter 32, the Torah introduces the following situation. The Torah says, "Omikne Rav, hayu libnei Ruven v'libnei Gad." Literally, the tribe of Reuben and Gad had massive amounts of livestock, large flocks. They saw the Transjordania lands, formerly the lands of Sichon and Og, and they saw that these were very lush pasture lands. So they come to Moshe with a proposal. Let us stay here. We will go ahead and live in the Transjordania lands. That way our flocks will have ample grazing and pasture land. Moshe Rabbeinu gets very nervous. He thinks that they're trying to pull like another Meraglim, that they don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. But ultimately, again, they calm him by saying, no, of course, we love Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, we'll be happy to go ahead and go with our brothers to help in the conquering and the division of the land. And then and only then will we settle our lands on the other side of the Jordan. Incredible story. And the Kachava, that's exactly what happened, right? The tribes of Reuven and Gad and also half of Manasseh end up settling on the Transjordanian lands. But again, Reuven and Gad are the ones who lead the military effort going into conquering and dividing Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. The great Tzaddik of Reb Simcha ben Pshischa understands that there is another dynamic that's unfolding in this pasuk. He looks at the phrase and he says, "Umikne Rav, hayu libnei Gad v'libnei Reuven." Literally, again, a large flock, miknerav, a large flock, or large amounts of livestock were possessed by Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Look what the Rebbe says. He says miknerav doesn't mean large amounts of livestock. He says miknerav literally means kinyan udevekus rabba haisa libnei Gad libnei Reuven Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is incredible. Mikne is a lashon of kinyan, an acquisition. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven had a mikna, a kinyan, in Rav. Rav could mean great. Rav could also mean a Rebbe. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven had a kinyan, felt an attachment, a strong, unbreakable connection to their Rav, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lefichach, listen to this. Mianu la'avaras hayardein uli part hemenu. They said, we're not crossing the Jordan. We're not crossing the Jordan. Why are we not crossing the Jordan? Because remember, again, they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately, again, was going to be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael. So they said like this, to go ahead and bring our Rebbe ultimately, again, into Eretz Yisrael, maybe we can't do. But at least we're not going to abandon our Rebbe. We're going to stay with him. And if he's going to be buried here, then ultimately, again, we're going to stay here as well. Says the Rebbe Simpon of Pshischa, that's the Pshat. Umikne Rav. They had such a great connection, such a great kinyan, such a great level of acquisition, such a great level of buy-in with their Rebbe, with Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were willing to give up their Eretz Yisrael just to remain close to him. An overwhelming and incredible insight. Beautiful. So you'll see to yourself, it's a nice Vart. It's an incredible Vart. But I think that the Rebbe is teaching us an incredibly profound lesson, especially during these days of Bein HaMetzarim. During these 3 weeks, especially again in the coming week as we enter into Rosh Chodesh Av, the 9 days, and build up with mounting heartbreak and mounting pain towards Tisha B'Av. And it's important for us to recognize how we got here. Right? Why is it that we're 2,000 years without a Beis HaMikdash? So again, it's not a mystery. The Gemara Chazal tell us that ultimately the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. Now, whatever baseless hatred actually means, one thing is clear, which means it's animosity, it's discord, it's a lack of cohesion within our people. And you ever wonder, like, why is it that we suffer from this, right? You would think that as a people, being a society that we've been so persecuted by the nations of the world, that if there's one thing we would possess, it would be achdus. And I want to say, in defense of Klal Yisrael, we possess an enormous amount of achdus. There is no people that cares about each other like us. There is no people that helps one another like us. Yet with all of that, we still suffer from so much dissent and discord. So how do we rectify it, right? We could talk about it. I don't think we need to talk about the problem. We're acutely aware of the problem. We've been dealing with it for thousands of years. But if we want to be solution-oriented, how do we rectify it? And I think that from the words of the Rebbe and from the behaviors of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, we can learn a lot. You know, in life, there are things that you feel invested in and things that you don't feel invested in. What's the distinction? When you're invested in something, you're willing to sacrifice for it, right? For example, on a most basic level, right? If someone comes to you with an actual investment, a financial investment, and says, okay, you know what? This investment is going to cost you $50,000. But, oh my gosh, the dividends, the return on investment is going to be, the ROI, incredible, incredible. Now, you have $50,000 in the bank. Now, the truth is, you're going to go on vacation and redo the kitchen, and do a couple, but then you realize like this, I'm willing to sacrifice the kitchen for now, right? I'm willing to sacrifice the vacation for now, because if I invest this money, the return on investment is going to be so much greater. The kitchen will be even bigger. Right? The vacation is going to be even longer. Right? So I'm willing to sacrifice because ultimately, again, there's a long-term gain. When you're invested in something, you're willing to sacrifice for it. Mashaking things that you're not really invested in. Okay, I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm happy to be involved, but I'm not really willing to sacrifice for it. And I think you see this a lot in relationships. Right? So let's say in a marriage. So hopefully a husband, a wife, they're invested in this relationship. So because they're invested, they're willing to sacrifice for each other. I'm in this. My life is invested in this relationship. And as such, I'm ready to make the necessary sacrifices. But let's say for someone else who you have absolutely no relationship with, at the end of the day, am I happy to help? Am I happy to do something? Sure. Like, am I willing to sacrifice for someone I don't know? Probably not. 9 times out of 10, probably not. See, here, dear friends, lies the question of how do we look at our fellow Jew? When we look at Klal Yisrael, how do we see each other? Do I see my fellow Jew as literally my brother, my sister? They are members of my family. But I don't know your name. And maybe even more. Maybe the truth is, you don't observe like me. You don't practice like me. Ideologically, we're so far apart. How do we see each other, even if we don't really know each other? And of course, the goal is to see each other as brothers and sisters. I love every Jew. As the Arizal said, before you start davening in the morning, Hareini mekabel al atzmi. Mitzvas aseh v'yehavta l're'acha kamocha. Even before you begin davening in the morning, before you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first thing you do is you accept upon yourself the positive commandment that I love every Jew like I love myself. That's how I have to look at Klal Yisrael. No, it doesn't just mean the people in your minyan, and it doesn't just mean the people who dress like you, look like you, practice like you. It means every single Jew, even the difficult ones, even the unreasonable ones. You don't have to be friends with them. You don't have to spend time with them. But you know, you could love someone even if you don't like them. And you could feel like someone is your brother and your sister even though you want absolutely nothing to do with them. That's okay. You don't have to be best friends with everyone. But when I look at Klal Yisrael, what I see is a nation of my brothers and sisters. And suddenly, if it's a nation of brothers and sisters, siblings, I'm invested in my relationship with my siblings. And if I'm invested in that relationship, I'm willing to make the necessary sacrifices. So what kind of sacrifices do we have the willing to make for our brothers and sisters? And here's the incredible part. I don't mean tzedakah, which I think comes actually easily for Klal Yisrael. Right? Financial assistance is often the part that we're able to do. The sacrifice often we have to make for our brothers and sisters is to sacrifice machlokes. What does that mean? It's so easy to fight. And it's so easy to disagree vociferously and sometimes even arrogantly and sometimes with an incredible, like, acidic overtone. That's easy. But when you're but the problem with that is when I disagree like that, when there's machlokes that's so negative, that's so divisive, that arose at the very fabric of unity of our people, then what I'm doing is I'm eroding the relationship. But if I'm invested in the relationship because these are my brothers, these are my sisters, there's an investment. If there's an investment, I'm going to be careful to guard my investment. Everybody wants to protect their investment. So if I'm invested in my relationship with my fellow Jews because they're my brothers and sisters, I'm going to protect that investment at all costs. And therefore, I'm willing to make sacrifices to protect that investment. What kind of sacrifice am I willing to make? Even though I could fight, even though I could argue, even though I could deliver that, you know, zinger retort, I'm not going to do it. That's the sacrifice I'm willing to make for the actus of my people. And where do we learn a willingness to sacrifice for your familial investment? From where do we learn a willingness to sacrifice? Because when you're invested in a relationship, you want to protect that investment. Umikne rav, hayu libnei gad, ulibnei ruvein. Right, Rebbe Pshischa, umikne rav, bnei gad and bnei ruvein says, hey, we are invested in our Rebbe. We're invested in our Rav. And not just a little investment, mikne rav, a big investment, a strong investment. This is our Rebbe. This is our Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're so invested. Listen to this. We're so invested that we are willing to give up our chelik in Eretz Yisrael to stay with our Rebbe. Mikne rav, mikne. And the irony is that Moshe Rabbeinu totally misunderstood what they were saying. But mikne, they were so invested in their relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu that they were willing to give up what had been the sole goal of our people for the previous generations, to get to Eretz Yisrael. We'll give up Eretz Yisrael for the sake of remaining close to Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll give up Eretz Yisrael for the sake of our relationship with our fellow Jew. We'll give up Eretz Yisrael because we are invested in the achdus and in the relationships of the klal. And if Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven were willing to give up their chelik in Eretz Yisrael for a relationship with one Jew, then alachas kama v'kama, we have to stand ready to make the necessary sacrifices, and not even big sacrifices, just sacrificing the right to fight, sacrificing the right to engage in machlokas, sacrificing divisiveness to protect our investment. Each of us are invested in the continuity of Klal Yisrael, and that investment is, I'm invested in my relationship with you. You're invested in your relationship with me. But I don't know you. You don't know me. It doesn't make a difference. Because even if we don't know each other, we are all brothers and sisters. That is the familial investment we have. And whenever you have an investment, you want a good return on that investment. You want to protect that investment. The way we protect the investment, the way we secure our return on that investment, is through shalom. It's through fostering peace with each other. We don't have to agree. We don't even really have to like each other. But we have to find ways to sidestep machlokes and find other mechanisms of resolution conflict whenever possible. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven did stay on the other side of the Jordan River, next to their Rav, next to their Rebbe, next to Moshe Rabbeinu. When you're willing to sacrifice for your relationship with the other, when you're willing to sacrifice to protect your investment in Klal Yisrael, the return is always something magnificent. Wishing everyone a good Erev Shabbos and a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh.